In fact, let me tell you what we're doing this morning. This is the last in 2 Timothy, right? And we don't want to simply talk on a Sunday morning. My conviction is the Word of God is that which grows us, helps us, encourages us in times of trouble, and I know that's the case for some of you this morning. It's a spiritual word. It's a word that's always accompanied by God's Spirit. Therefore, I trust it'll do us good. So I want to help us pick up 2 convictions today about how to finish life well. Now, you're thinking, I'm 23. I'm not ready to finish life. I understand. Okay. Start early. Think about life and what to make of it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is a spiritual word. It's a word that's meant to do us good. And I want to pray this morning, Father, that you'd help me to speak clearly to that end. Above all, we pray that your Holy Spirit would empower what's said, apply it to our hearts, so that we don't simply speak this morning. We speak your words, that words of healing and growth and nurture, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, having said that, let me give you something that will seem slightly depressing. 3,000 years ago, the writer of Ecclesiastes wrote these words. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone, and the living should take this to heart. Now, there you go. I wanted to bring you something very cheery. I think I've probably succeeded there. Is that right? But the point actually is really a very profound one. If you care about your soul, he's saying, funerals are better than parties. And you can see why that would be the case. Because it makes you think about the end well before you get there. Now, that's what today is about. Not about you cancelling all your party engagements. It's about thinking, how do I end life well? These are the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul. These are the last words we have. And last words, more often than not, are pretty unrevealing. You know, Elvis Presley's last words, I think, were, I'm going to the bathroom. Pretty unrevealing, right? You expect something a bit more profound than that. He never came back. Some last words are different because they tell you how to finish well. And that's the case with this passage. Now, any life can have a bad start. You came from an unhappy home. Your parents did their best. They were behind the eight ball. It was just plain hard. Or you started well, but somewhere in the middle you messed up and you're really ashamed about that. And there's nothing you feel that you can do about it now, and now it's too late. Or you're set for greatness in life. Is that any of us here? And yet somehow things just fizzle out. It never really eventuates. And the life you imagined for yourself hasn't materialised. But any race can finish well. And the Christian life is a race. Its ending is shaped by the convictions you grow while the race is being run. And I want to suggest to you, their convictions primarily about 2 things. Convictions about humanity. Convictions about God. What are your convictions about humanity? What are your convictions about God? They will profoundly shape the way you live your life. So what can you learn from the Apostle Paul about those? Let me take you back to the context. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in 2 Timothy, but if you remember, Paul's in prison. He's in prison in Rome. Because of his testimony to the gospel, he's awaiting execution, which as a Roman citizen for him meant most likely he'd be beheaded. He's been detained, most likely again in the Marmatine prison, which is in Rome. Not sure if you've ever been to that prison when you visited Rome. It was little more than a cave. It had a hole in the roof. There was a ladder that they let down when they wanted to allow someone in. It was very cold, very damp. It was tremendously lonely. There was no food unless your friends happened to provide any food. There was no companionship unless you had friends who were willing to be friends. And most friends of political prisoners in Rome would only come to visit you if they were brave enough to do it, because by association with you, they themselves might be in trouble. And that was the case for the Apostle Paul. So if your life were like Paul's, that is, if, and it's very unlikely in Australia, isn't it, if your life was ordained to end like this, what convictions would enable you to finish well? Now, our lives aren't like the Apostle Paul's, but I trust you do want to finish well. And begins with starting well. What convictions would enable you to do that? Well, two convictions about humanity, two convictions about God. Let me give you the convictions about humanity first. And this is the first of those. It's the desperate need we have of relationship. The desperate need we have of relationship. Pick it up in verse 9, where Lee first read to us. Do your best, he says to Timothy, to come to me quickly. Now, this is not the very first time you hear this, or the only time. In fact, you hear it again in verse 21. Paul writes there, do your best to get here before winter. Now, see if you can put yourself in the picture here. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is an extraordinary man. Extraordinary man. When I first began reading the Bible as a non-Christian, I was struck by this trailblazing guy who I figured could stand alone against all odds. Well, he was an extraordinary man, but he was just a man. And as the author of Genesis says, it's not good for a man to be alone, or a woman to be alone for that matter, and Paul knew it. Now, by all accounts, he did have some visitors. He mentions four of them in verse 21 there, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia. You've heard other ones, haven't you, throughout the letter, friends? You've got that extraordinary person, Onesiphorus, in chapter 1, remember, who's actually travelled 1,000 miles to get to Rome, leaving life behind in Ephesus, just so he can serve Paul in some sort of way, because, of course, no one else would. But this old apostle longs for Timothy. There's a warm relationship with Timothy. He longs for him. And Timothy, of course, is far away, back in Ephesus, 1,000 miles away. Was not going to be easy for him to get there, but Paul was hopeful that he'd come. Now, you know, it's only naivety about human nature that makes us underestimate the need for Christian fellowship. Do you really feel you need Christian fellowship? Do you really feel you need it? At times we tend to underestimate that. Not the Apostle Paul. As strong as he was, he knew he needed it. Many times people spend their time waiting for someone else to come and meet their need, waiting for someone else to take the initiative to do that for them. And of course, when they don't do it, they feel tremendously let down, they complain. I wasn't greeted well, I wasn't helped when I was in need. I didn't